Tuesday marked a very busy day for political analysts. 8 states, Alabama, California, Iowa, Mississippi, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota held their primaries, ramping up for November's midterm elections. We'll turn to California in just a minute, but first, joining us to discuss the larger trends in these primaries is my colleague Amy Walter, national editor of the Cook Political Report and Friday host of The Takeaway. Hey, Amy.
Hi, Tanzina.
So this year, we're seeing a historic wave of women candidates running for Congress and governor. How did they do in these primaries?
Well, they did very well, Tanzina, and we're continuing a trend that has been building since the very first primaries of women, especially Democratic women, outperforming men in competitive races. In Iowa, we had 2 Democratic women win their primaries, 2 very competitive districts in that state. Democrats hoping to flip both of those in November. Republican women also did pretty well in a place like South Dakota, which could elect its first Republican woman to governor. This is House Member Kristi Noem won her competitive primary there. Women also, Democratic women in New Jersey, New Mexico, winning their primaries. So that's setting us up for an interesting November election to see if all of these women who are winning primaries are able to translate that ultimately into success in November and come to Washington. The other interesting story, this also involves a woman, but it's a bigger story, Tanzina. In Alabama, Congresswoman Martha Roby, who was one of the few Republicans after the Access Hollywood tape was released in 2016, she came out, admonished then-candidate Donald Trump, said she couldn't support him. She was in a very competitive primary and was held under 50% of the vote in that primary. She now has a runoff, really based on the fact that she wasn't a strong enough supporter of President Trump back in 2016.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened in New Jersey with Senator Bob Menendez. He won his primary, right?
Yep, he did, but not by the margin that you would expect. This is a long-term sitting incumbent senator who has been in a bit of hot water of late. He was indicted on corruption charges, taken to trial. They ultimately didn't find him guilty, but he went up in a primary against someone who had not run any bit of a campaign at all, and that person took 40% of the vote. He didn't come close to losing, but still getting, we can consider that basically a protest vote. A lot of Democrats saying, I still consider myself a Democrat, but I'm not really very happy with Bob Menendez. Now, he's up against a Republican in the fall who is a wealthy pharmaceutical executive who's already been spending money. If you live in the New York City market, you might have seen some of his ads already up on television going over some of these corruption charges that were leveled against Bob Menendez. Listen, New Jersey's a very, very Democratic state. Democrats are hoping that the sort of anti-Trump fever and the energy among Democrats is going to be enough to overcome some of Menendez's other challenges. But I also think it's an interesting time, Tanzina, given we've got these 2 waves in American politics right now. You do have the energy and enthusiasm among Democrats really focused on Trump and being against Trump, but you also have a deepening frustration among voters of all stripes about the idea about politics as usual, that you know the politicians who have become just so ingrained in this system that they see as a pay-to-play system. They're not looking out for the interests of regular people. They're much more interested in the interests of their donors or the political class is also really important. And so those 2 elements are going to come to a head in New Jersey this November.
Amy Walter is national editor of the Cook Political Report and Friday host of The Takeaway. Amy, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome, Tanzina.
There was a lot going on at the polls all across the country on Tuesday, but now we're turning to the state with the largest population, California. Since 2012, California has used a pretty unorthodox primary system. The top 2 candidates in each race go on to the general election, regardless of what party they're from, and that can lead to some pretty chaotic results. Joining me now to make sense of it all is Marisa Lagos, political reporter for KQED. Hey, Marisa.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. So let's get started with Dianne Feinstein, who won the Senate primary pretty easily. She's trying for her 5th term in November, and at 84, she's already the oldest sitting U.S. senator. Are Californians excited about her as a candidate?
You know, I wouldn't say they're as excited as they might have been some years past. This has been an interesting time for her. She's a more moderate senator when it comes to comparing her to a lot of California Democrats. And, you know, she got a challenge from the left this time from a state senator named Kevin DeLeon, who really has championed a lot of climate change issues at the state capitol with Governor Jerry Brown and really has tried to push Dianne Feinstein. I mean, look, she's sitting around 44% of the vote, and it does look like he's only in, you know, barely double digits, around 11%. So it's not as if she it was a close race between the two. But I do think that given she's been in office for so long, her name ID is so much higher. I think this is a sign that if nothing else, she's going to have to take his challenge seriously.
And we're looking at the primary for governor. The Democratic Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom and Republican businessman John Cox both came out on top in the race to replace outgoing Governor Jerry Brown. Tell us a little bit about these two candidates.
So Gavin Newsom's a former mayor of San Francisco, most famous nationally probably for opening up a city hall in 2004 to gay marriages and really kind of kickstarting that whole debate, which ultimately ended up with the Supreme Court deciding in same-sex couples' favors. And you have just such a contrast here. John Cox is a San Diego businessman. He has run unsuccessfully for office multiple times in his home state of Illinois, very unknown to voters compared to Newsom, who has been in statewide office for 7 years. And Cox, even though he didn't vote for Donald Trump, has really tried to sort of seize on the president's message, talking about California's sanctuary state law, deriding it, going after Democrats for passing a gas tax to fund road repairs last year. Cox benefited from an endorsement from the president. So this is a big win for the GOP, although, you know, most observers don't think Cox has a lot of a chance statewide, given the fact that Republicans are actually third when you look at voter registration after no party preference voters in California.
Leading up to Tuesday, some Democrats were concerned that their candidates for House races would essentially cancel each other out, leaving Republicans to move on. Did that end up happening?
It doesn't look like it. I think this is one of the big surprises of Tuesday night, that in some ways both parties can claim victory. So, you know, Republicans did get Cox to the top of the ticket. They're hoping that'll affect these congressional races. On the other hand, as you said, there were a handful, about 7 districts that Democrats have been targeting. They chose those in large part because those are districts where Republicans represent them in Congress, but Hillary Clinton actually beat out Donald Trump in 2016. And basically what happened was there was too much of a good thing, right? So many Democrats were energized. They were worried that they would split the vote. It's looking fairly good, you know, even though Republicans still have an advantage in some of those districts registration wise. I think it's going to be a hard fight for some of these incumbents.
Marisa, election officials in LA County said yesterday that a printing error left more than 100,000 voters off the rolls. Some of them voted using provisional ballots, but that seems like a pretty big error. I mean, what impact did it actually have on yesterday's primary?
Well, I mean, there's 5 million voters in Los Angeles County, so this was a large number, but not a huge number. What ultimately happened was that the polls closed at 8 o'clock, as they're legally required to do without a court order, the registrar said. But they did tell folks who were not on the rolls that they should cast provisional ballots. But I think that this is, you know, a very big headache and a big problem when people go and expect to be there and be able to get their ballots on election day and they can't. I think it really turns people off. And I think it is something that we're going to be sort of studying in the coming weeks and months to make sure that it doesn't happen again in November, especially given the fact that Los Angeles County is just such a huge part of the electorate.
Marisa Lagos is a political reporter for KQED. Thanks, Marisa.
Thank you. My pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.